for average people, for most people in the world, today is
Tuesday.
But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars
Tuesday
with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
Pete's one of the great sports writers right now. I'll say that. As far as knowledge and understanding the game, watching tape, even though he's wrong sometimes, I disagree with his opinions, at least they're educated opinions.
Now, to kick off Jaguars
Tuesday,
here's JP Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Tuesday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and soon to join us in studio, Pete Prisco, in person, in the flesh tonight, allegedly. His flight is late from South Florida, though, so he'll join us ASAP.
It is so cold outside. I don't think I'm on at all right now because I can't hear myself. I'm on?
Right. Yeah, you're on. We hear you. It's okay. Technical.
I can't hear myself. What? There we go. Hey. Now I can hear myself.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Tony, glad to have you.
Sorry about that, everyone listening.
Jaguars.
I have this very detailed script I have to be really stay right on top of, and I don't want to get in trouble. So, segment one, what are we talking about, JP?
Tony, so what, the Jags got the loss in Tennessee. They're finished the season 10-6. They're going to welcome in the Buffalo Bills this Sunday at Everbank Field. What is wrong with you?
Oh, I just, you know, I mean, Joe knows it. The best thing is not to tell me. It would be much better off. Well, inside the business here.
Dear. Yes, Joe.
Go ahead, jump in, Joe.
I just want everyone to know that you couldn't hear because you did not turn your own headsets
on.
Oh,
yeah. No, absolutely. This is not the normal seat I sit in, though. Is it? No.
Yes, it is. Have you been here before? What is wrong with you? What happened to you on New Year's Eve?
I tell you what,
way?
I froze. My brain froze in Nashville. I stayed up there and went
It wasn't Nashville, friend. I got news for you.
I went up to the Keith Urban concert.
Yeah, how was he?
Unreal. And I was telling you guys before we came on.
Even in the cold.
It was like,
because you stayed in Nashville,
After the right. game. So, and we'll get to football here in a second. We got plenty of time. And Pete's not here anyway. So it was, I looked at my phone. It was an outdoor concert. They said there was 100,000 people there. They opened the gates at 4 p.m. There were people standing out in that weather from 4 p.m. until after midnight when we left.
I'm sure they didn't feel a thing, though.
Probably
most
not.
Crowd,
probably not.
Yes.
But Keith Urban sat out there and played. And I looked at my phone. It said, feels like minus one.
Sweet.
And he sat out there for an hour and a half on his guitar, hands exposed, just working that guitar. I mean, strumming away. And I sat there amazed because we did the game, and I had gloves on. My fingers are, I mean, raw. Joe had his fingertips. I mean, it was hard to move your fingers and make a fist after a while because it was so cold. I have no idea how he did it. And I sat there thinking, I'm like, that guy can play in the NFL. I mean, that's a guy who
that guy
wears no sleeves on, you know, come Sunday.
He's the one going shirtless to warm
up. He's shirtless out there. I mean, he is a bad man. I mean, so, and I know Joe and JP, you guys are big music guys. It was, and I'm not. I enjoy it, but don't know it like you guys do. And I just couldn't imagine. I mean, Joe, you play the guitar. I mean, how do you do that out in the weather like that?
I never did. I played outside before, not when it's cold. I can't imagine it.
Don't your fingers hurt strumming against those of the strings?
Not just strumming, it's your
working the top hand.
Your note hand. It's ugh.
So, but it was fun. But I think part of anything that I must have froze my brain a little bit because we were out there for a long time. And
it's a bold play after sitting out all day to go up there and see a concert outside too.
Yeah, especially since I couldn't get a ride from the stadium, so I had to walk across the pedestrian bridge.
Sweet.
In the weather afterwards to find a cab/Uber.
It's a fun downtown though, Nashville.
Yeah,
they do it upright.
But it was not fun on Sunday. It
nope.
was not what we wanted to. Nope. It was good to have you, JP. Or
it was fun
opening salvo, taking the second half because Frank was sick. He fought through it in the first half, and his voice was gone. You stepped in. You did a good job.
I appreciate it
was
man.
Fun having you in the booth with us.
It was good to be there, and glad I had the opportunity. No doubt.
Well,
so too bad I couldn't bring a W with
me. We might have to break down some of the.
Some of the tape?
Some of the tape afterwards. I know Joe and I have some concerns about getting excited about Tennessee plays. you're used to doing national broadcasts.
It's intercepted.
We had to remind you, like,
fired.
That's not good. We don't like when the other team makes a play, so don't get excited.
Stiff arm church. Oh, my God. First down Titans.
It's like, here we go. Someone listening was probably going, do I have the right station? Am I listening to the Jaguar broadcast here?
Hey.
No, but you did a great job.
No,
all kidding aside, stepping in like that is not easy. You're called the night before.
He was the epitome of just somebody happy to be there.
It was happy.
And you could tell.
It was great. Right. You know what, though? Yep. For everyone listening, just to give you a little backstory, is we get to Nashville, and Frank is fighting laryngitis, and his voice is – he's doing everything he can. And so we called in JP up the bench. He got a flight in late Thursday night. Could he, or late
couldn't even get
Saturday
there
night.
Thursday.
Couldn't even get there.
Got to Charlotte because I missed the connection. Had to stay in some hotel by the airport.
Shows
there,
up Sunday morning, and I walk into the stadium, into the press box, and there's JP on his notes, getting his computer, getting all the – building his board out, which – if you've never done a game, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, especially radio for the play-by-play guy, because it's a constant, I mean, a lot of information you have to digest. So JP did a great job.
Appreciate
in
that.
All seriousness.
Awesome.
I thought it was we missed having Frank there, obviously, but it was a seamless transition, and you stepped in, did a fabulous job, and I'm sure everyone listening enjoyed it.
Appreciate that.
Outside of us losing.
Yeah, other than the loss that we brought you. So there's concerns. We'll get to – when Pete gets here, we'll break it down a little more, but – there's some concerns on offense, right? I mean, they're not running the ball great. The quarterbacks turned it over a bunch the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Have they shown all their cards the last 2 weeks, or do you think they're holding back a little bit?
No, I think no. There's no holding back. They have not executed well. And I think the big thing is the run game. You look at the rush yards of well under 100 yards, and that's the type of game – and I said it early in the year that why this team would have success in the playoffs, because I thought it was the team that traveled, meaning they played great defense and could run the ball.
Yeah, sure.
Well, part of that was came to fruition in Sunday's game. They played outstanding defense, without a doubt, but they could not run the ball. And that is an issue. In that type of game, you have to be able to run the ball.
Well, the better running team was on the other sideline. I mean, you saw Derrick Henry breaking tackles and getting not big breakaway runs except for the pass and the touchdown early. But when they needed to move the sticks, they handed it off, and guess what? He's breaking tackles, falling forward for 5-6 yards.
And that did not happen, and that's where you're concerned. Now, the flip side of that is there was plays to be made that, I mean, mainly D.D. Westbrook had two big drops. One was a touchdown that might have changed the entire feel of that game if you score there. Is it concerned? Sure, because offensively I don't think – they've been consistent the last couple of weeks, even though they scored, 33 against San Francisco. But that's a defense that had been struggling, especially in the secondary. They took advantage of that. But against the Titans, where you had an opportunity to win it and to send them home, and you weren't able to, and not because of the defense, but really because offensively you couldn't get it done. And the ground game is a concern.
Oh, yeah.
Because Buffalo coming in, and I haven't broken down their numbers or stuff. I got it right here. But they're a good defense. I mean, that also is probably the strength of their team.
I don't know. They're 29th in the league against the run, though.
But overall, I mean, if you look at that team, they're going to try to limit points. I mean, and I'm talking just from the high-level view.
Just seeing it from
afar. From afar. Right, yeah. I mean, obviously, the numbers, I mean, you could say the same thing about this Jaguar defense.
We're number one in rushing somehow still.
No, but defensively, they're down quite a way in rush defense.
Right.
But you would say this is a very good defense, would we not?
Okay. Sure.
So I'm saying you can't just look at numbers. I'm saying the way the team, especially with LeSean McCoy out, the way they're built is they're going to try to limit points and ball control it. And who can do that better will win this football game. And then turnovers is the other big thing.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, the four turnovers, -3 overall. Just not a good day.
Not at all. That's the thing that'll kill you in the playoffs, those turnovers, because it only takes really one or two of those in a key time to turn a football game, and then they're running the ball on you and killing the clock and winning the football game, and then you're going fishing the next week if it's warm enough to go do so. Defensively.
It's not warm enough, I'll tell you that much.
No, it is not. Defensively, they got back to form a little bit. Ben don't break, gave up some field goals, didn't give up the touchdown after on some of the short fields and all that stuff. So they got back to form, gave up 15 points in the game. I mean, that's a pretty good day defensively, no matter how you get it done, right?
Yeah, I thought, and you look at 6 of those points, JP, are on short fields.
Right.
And actually, probably 9 of them. I think the 2 of them were in field goal possession, position when they got the ball. Mm-hmm. And then the one other drive on one of their interceptions, I thought they got near 50 and they got a couple yards, a couple first downs, then kicked the field goal. And so short fields and only giving up those 9 points is an outstanding job. Outside of the one screenplay, that was the only time the Titans ever really threatened this defense offensively as far as marching and scoring, and that was on a big play.
So they're primed and ready to go this week on defense. Should be. After giving up 44 in San Francisco, They got it back on track last week, and then here come the Buffalo Bills with maybe without LeSean McCoy in there.
Well, that we'll get to that in a second.
That'll be all the rest of the show here.
The formula for this team winning is no different than it's been, and that's to play great defense and run the ball. So, and really, it's the defense more than anything. This defense is going to have to carry this group if they're going to have success. And really, outside of, you know, they had a couple breakdowns in Seattle and Arizona where they gave up big plays, but they, you know, it was play here or there. The 49er game is the one where you feel like that's not the defense that you're used to seeing. But they did get back this week, and it's going to take. Is it going to take a great effort to beat the Bills? No, but it's going to take a good, solid effort. And I expect them, I mean, without getting in too much into it, is because a lot of the preparation we'll do on the Bills is coming up, and we'll talk a lot about that looking forward in detail Thursday night, is the fact that this is a game they should win. They're better than the Bills, and when you take LeSean McCoy out of the equation, you should beat the Bills, and you should go to Pittsburgh. And as a fan, you can think that way. But I said it this morning with Dan and Jeff on the Breakfast with the Sally. The one thing you got to be careful of, I was on a team in 96 that went into Buffalo, and everyone in Buffalo was saying, we'll beat them
and then move on.
And then we'll move on, and we'll go to, I think they would have gone to New England or Denver, wherever they would have gone. And we came in there and took it to them. Mm-hmm. And won the game. So you got to be careful. In the playoffs, it's tight. Things happen. Turnovers are critical. You can't be turning the ball over like they have the last 2 weeks because that will get you beat for sure. And so it's going to be an interesting game. It'll be very interesting to see how this thing goes.
Plenty to get to tonight. Second hour coming up, we'll have the Tony Vasselli Twitter question of the night. The phone lines will be open as well. Pete Prisco is in transit. He'll be here tonight in studio. And we're a day later than normal. It's Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday. And 2018 season ticket member deposits are available now at jaguars.com/season tickets. Don't miss out on playoff pre-sales ever again. Visit jaguars.com/season tickets and lock in your seats for next season. It's Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday on Jaguars Radio.
High formation for the Titans, two tight ends to the right. Receiver out to the left is Decker. Mariota takes the snap and runs into Henry. Lost the football. It's on the ground. The Jags pick it up. Unique Ngakoue at the 40 across midfield. He could score with it. He's at the near side 30 to the 20 to the 10. Unique Ngakoue is going to take it all the way to the house. A fumble return touchdown for the Jags. And they're right back in the game.
How about that? Huge play on defense there for the Jags on Sunday in Nashville. Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday continues.
How about the play-by-play guy, though?
No,
wow.
No.
Holy cow.
Unique Ngakoue made the
nailed it.
How about Derrick Henry running the wrong way?
How about the fact that outside, you know, and that's the thing you almost have to remind yourself of. If that fluke play doesn't happen, I'm not sure we score.
It's a good point.
We didn't score anyway. It was
15-3.
Mm-hmm. And that just shows, really, we saw the numbers, and maybe Max can put those numbers up again, the offensive numbers, how inept they were offensively. I mean,
bad.
Three turnovers in offense, one was on special teams, but the numbers were just, you know, only 229 total yards. It just
83 on the ground.
It's just not very good. And
Is it a line thing? Is it a running back issue? Is it a
it's all the above.
Offense?
It's
everything?
All the above.
What are
I
we
mean,
doing?
Just there's no rhythm. There's no. They don't have. They're not. Here's the one thing they're not getting. They're not getting any big plays out of the run game.
Right. It's 2-3 there's into the pile.
And typically, the good running teams, you go to a gain of 2, a gain of 4, a gain of 1, a gain of 3, a gain of 4. But then you go 10.
Yep.
You have 15 in there. You have a 20. I mean, you have some big runs, and they just did not have any of those, and they haven't.
The longest run Sunday was 9 yards for the Jags. Twice. Bortles had one.
I was
going to
say, Bortles. Yeah, Bortles is one. I mean, that's the other thing. If you take away Bortles' rush yards in there, it's even worse. I'm not sure what were.
83 minus 9.
What were the yards per attempt for Fournette?
3.6.
Yeah. Just not very good. And that's a game where you have to line up and say, we're going to run the ball and trust our defense to play great defense. And they just didn't do it. They did not
ever
get.
That was a game you wished you had the Pittsburgh game back, right? Where you're running the ball 13 straight times and you got a defense getting takeaways. That's the kind of game. That's the perfect Jaguars game for this season.
Especially when they're playing defense the way they
are. Yeah.
And right now offensively, and if you look at the second half of the season, and they are the number one rush team, but it doesn't feel like they're the number one rush team.
I don't know how they still are after the last month. They've only had a couple of decent games
So you think about it, you look at Houston, a lot of those yards came at the end with Corey Grant, mm-hmm. which I still think needs to be on the field at some point. I'm not sure why he's not getting any reps. I'm sure they're smarter than me, but I would put him out there. And so there's some garbage time yards there. Indianapolis is not a very good defense at all, so that's an easy rushing game. And then,
Pittsburgh was, the biggest game of the year.
That's way back then. I'm just talking about the last month. How you stick it, where you are right now. And they had huge games early. But they got to figure it out. And because we talked about it the Bills are 29th in the league rushing. But they're a team of almost – when they win, their defense plays really well. And, that's why you got to be careful on statistics. Their losses are bad losses. And we talked about this in the break. They lose to the Jets, they give up 34. They lose to the Saints, they give up 47. They lose to the Chargers, they give up 54. Mm. And that was a game where Peterman had the 5 interceptions in the first half. They lose to the Patriots, they give up 37. So those games right there got out of hand and got away from them. And that's where you can get some skewed statistics. I have not watched the tape, and we'll dive into the tape with Jeff on Thursday and really dig into that more. But it's a team based, and we'll wait to see where LeSean McCoy. The word is he's going to try to play, but they're going to try to control it with Tyrod Taylor, play action pass. He's a threat. I'm not worried about the offense. Defensively, you have to be able to sustain drives. You have to be able to attack them, and their secondary is not great at all. They give up significant yards in the passing game. They're giving up 230 yards, which is 19th in the league. But their opponent passer rating, I think, is 6th in the league, which is right around 79, the mm-hmm. quarterback. So they get a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, they get the back end. Their safeties have 5 picks each.
They're an opportunistic. They're one of those defenses, kind of bend don't break, opportunistic. Try to get some turnovers and stuff like that. So if you look at it from our standpoint, the formula to win. If this team's not running the ball, and everyone talks about Blake, we need to throw it more, and Pete will be in a little bit and talk about opening it up and all this stuff. That doesn't work. That's not the formula for the victory for this team. This team has to run the ball, and they have to figure out how they're going to run the ball, because I think they'll beat the Bills. I think they're going to win this week. But still, if you want to progress and you want to have that special season, you want to advance and you want to do all the things that you felt like you could do at certain points of the season, if the running game isn't greatly improved, and if they're not blocking it better up front, and if Leonard Fournette does not get that mojo going, then this team is going to struggle to move the ball consistently. They're going to struggle, and that's why I go back to. For the life of me, I'm not sure. I mean, and the coaches see the players more than we do, obviously, but. Mm-hmm. I would change the pace with Corey Grant in there. I mean, Jeff and I have been talking about it for a while now. I'm not sure why they don't.
So, Chris Ivory was inactive last week.
Healthy scratch.
It was early part of the season where T.J. Yeldon was the healthy scratch. So, Doug Marrone made kind of a point the other day that this is the similar situation to that. It's a good problem to have when you have healthy running backs and you can have a guy available if something happens, I guess. Why Chris Ivory now? Why has he not been able to perform better, I guess, when he's been out there and the limited time he's been out there lately?
I think it's more of a trust factor.
Holding on to the ball.
I think if you think back, and I can't remember what week it was, but it was the middle of the season, he had the fumbles, a couple different mm-hmm. games. And it's a funny thing that happens with coaches. When you lose confidence in a guy, boy, it's hard to get it back. And I just think they've lost confidence, and I think they feel like T.J. Yeldon, which I agree with this, is a better third down back, better out of the backfield, and he is.
Sure.
And so that's why he's up active, and they want Corey Grant there for special teams. I just think they got to use Corey Grant more often. I think he is a weapon. He's enough of a change of pace. I like how he runs. We saw the vision that he had. in that Houston game. I know it was garbage time, but I don't. The production's not coming from that right now. I don't know if it's not he's not healthy or what it is, but does he look the same to you watching him?
Who's that?
Fournette that he did in the first
half? No. Well, he said it himself.
And he said
that
it.
He's banged
and so
up.
I don't. I mean, I'm not sure why they don't get Corey Grant going a little bit more.
They're gonna have to throw at some point. And Allen Hurns was back in the field, which was good news. And
let's hope it's not cold again because D.D. Westbrook does not like the cold by his play.
But apparently not. That was not an ideal set.
Did anyone ask him about that?
Westbrook, 9 targets, 1 catch in the game.
Well, and 2 big drops, the deep end route that he short-armed.
The touchdown.
And then the touchdown that somehow went right through his hands. Now, granted, it's harder to catch the ball when it's cold. Eric Decker had a couple big drops, too. I mean, if you're sitting there from the Titans standpoint, you could say, well, what if Eric Decker catches those 2 balls?
They might blow it out, right.
Might not even be close.
Yeah.
So the you always can do that in games and go back and forth and have those conversations and talk about, you know, this happened. It is what it is. But looking forward, they're going to have to get those young receivers, and for the most part, they have. I thought Keelan Cole did a nice job. Obviously, at Allen Hurns, but you're going to need Dede Westbrook, unless Marquise Lee comes back.
I mean, you'd think this would be the week. It's playoffs, right?
Well, yeah. Now, you strap it up, and you do whatever it takes to get on the field.
If you want another contract, this is the time you go earn it, right?
Forget about contracts. Forget about everything. If you want, this is why you play the game. It's the playoffs. You don't know how many times you're going to have this opportunity. Ask Paul Posluszny what it's like to play in the playoffs.
He doesn't know.
10 years in the league? So don't take this for granted. You might never get an I'm just telling you. I remember our first playoff run. I didn't even know to appreciate it. And I remember losing that AFC title game in New England and driving home from the airport afterwards and saying, you know what? I was disappointed we lost because you missed an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. But listen, we're going to be back next year.
Doesn't work like
Guess
that.
Guess what? We were in the playoffs. We didn't go to the title game again. By the way, we went to the title game one more time in my career, and I was hurt and didn't get to play in it.
Yeah.
And so you better take advantage of this right now. And as a player, you say, I don't care what I have to do. I am playing this game. By all means legal, borderline ethically, I am playing this game. You do what you have to do to get out there. As long as you're not going to hurt the team, you get out there and play.
Blake Bortles looking for some good decisions out of the quarterback. You know, even the first couple of interceptions in San Francisco were pretty good decisions. They were just batted around, and a good play by the defensive back on the second one, and the first one was tipped. Keelan Cole couldn't make the play. So, overall, certainly early in the month of December, great play for Blake Bortles. Even the last, the first ball he threw intercepted in Tennessee, not a good decision, fading away on the throw and a whole thing. Byard was there to make the catch. But overall, over the last month, is this just a little phase for him right now? How's he looking to you especially?
If I'm not mistaken, it's 6 interceptions the last 2 weeks.
That's right. It's 5.
How many do you have? Oh, he had 2 this week. That's right, because Keelan Cole fumbled. Mm-hmm. So 5 in the last 2 weeks. So,
right. But as I said,
is 13 of the year. He only had 8 coming in the last 2 weeks. And you're thinking, oh, hey, listen, this is good. It's a problem. I mean, you got to be smart with the football. And I excused the San Francisco because I thought, you know, a couple miscommunications. Mm-hmm. He's trying to make a play in the middle of the field. That happens. But don't make this a trend, because we saw some bad decisions. Him trying. What I always fear with Blake is that he, in situations when we are behind, he feels like he has to do too much. And he starts taking too much on himself and tries to force things. And if you think about this team, this year, when they've won, it's not because they've come back. They are a team that plays well with the lead. And I'm trying to think back. Have we come back and won a game when we've been down in the fourth quarter? I don't believe we have.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And so one of the things I do worry about is the fact that if we get behind in this game, does Blake try to put too much? Because watching some of those interceptions in Tennessee, they were bad decisions. They were poor choices and bad throws that he had no business throwing those footballs. And so you worry, was he sitting back there saying, the run game's not going, you know, it's getting late, I got to make a play.
Let me throw this in this tight window right here and see if I can sneak one in, right?
And I just don't think he can't have that mentality, and I think it's very, very important that this team gets the lead early in the playoffs because it has not shown its ability in the second half to come back when it's behind.
No, of course, early in the year when they got a 10-14 point lead, we felt, oh, it's over now. Defense, let those boys lose.
Well, I still feel that way. They get a lead. They get a 2-possession lead over Buffalo, but Buffalo's not coming back to beat them. I mean, look at the – tell me the, who's going to come back.
Who's going to make a play for them, right?
The leading receiver, the leading pass catcher out of wide receivers is Thompson, Deontay Thompson, at 27 catches for the year. 27. LeSean McCoy has 59. We don't even know if he's going to play. Charles Clay has 49. They don't have a receiver anywhere near 1,000 yards.
They still have Benjamin, who they got in a trade at the deadline, who's
16 catches.
Play,
yeah,
obviously.
16 catches for 217. Yeah, does he have the ability to beat you? Sure, he does. But they're not going to come back. If you have a 2-possession lead with this defense, they're not coming back. And that's why you have to, I think that if you're watching this game on Sunday, how this team starts, and if they're able to get a lead, then I think, you know, it's going to be game, set, match.
I like it.
Over.
I like it. It's over. By the way, fanaticsauctions.com/Jaguars. You can bid on Jaguars teal, game-worn, Bortles, Posluszny, Fournette, Ngakoue, and Fowler jerseys, just to name a few. 25 other starters' jerseys are up for bid. fanaticsauctions.com/Jaguars. That's going on until Monday, January 9th at 9 o'clock p.m. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blandy. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday on Jaguars Radio.
Love what you've been doing. You know, I wouldn't change up anything. You know, it got us here. You know, and just, you know, stay focused. You know, take care of your bodies. You know, and make sure you get your sleep. You know, and then and in practice, just make sure every rep you're getting something that's going to help you for game day. You know, a lot more attention, you know, and so a little more noise. You got to be able to handle the noise, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, I grew up in a big family, you know, chaos is what I'm used to, so, and I like the noise, you know, so I'm ready. But, I mean, to each their own, whatever you have to do to get ready. You know, Malik has, you know, been to Super Bowl, he has a lot of experience, and you know, so some guys, you know, that need to be a little more focused, cut off the phone, get the playbook a little bit more, you know, do everything you've been doing, but just a little bit more, a little bit better. That's the name of the game.
That's Calais Campbell. He's the co-host of Jaguars All Access TV. They're airing tonight, 7 o'clock, Yellow Mushroom, Avondale. Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday tonight. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli. We are eagerly anticipating the arrival of Pete Prisco at some point, in transit right now from South Florida.
Scared.
Scared?
Yeah, he's scared to show up.
Really?
Well, you know, it's easy for him to say the idiotic things he says from Miami, wherever he does that's from. But now I'm to show up and face me. He wants nothing to do with it. But that's all right. Quick correction.
How about that?
The Jaguars have come back in the fourth quarter for a win against the Chargers. They were down by 3. They tied it up before it went into overtime. But even that, if you think back to that game, we almost did it in spite of our offense. 2 late interceptions.
they absolutely did it in spite of the offense.
Only got into field goal range because of the Joey Bosa roughing the passer. So that's why I think I blocked that out of my mind as some great comeback.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I don't think that's some great comeback. I think looking at this team, it stands. At this point, hopefully it changes, that if we're looking to come back, you know, down a possession or two in the fourth quarter, it's not feeling very good.
And you got to remember, I mean, he threw the 2 picks after the 2-minute warning, and Malik Jackson forced a fumble that never happens. They ran the football, and somehow he got it out of his hand.
And still didn't take advantage of it.
Right. I mean, what is going on in that game? That was weird. So I'm glad we don't have the Chargers again, I'll be honest with you. They didn't make the playoffs.
Well, yeah. If it was
if you want those 2 pass rushers,
if it was college football, they would have made it instead of the Bills.
That's true. And
if we vote for it, which is the biggest sham of a system ever. I know you're excited that Alabama is playing for another national title. They don't deserve to be there, in my opinion. They didn't win a conference. Their conference
just knocked off the number one team in the country last night. I don't know. I mean,
based on how are they number one? What are they?
Clemson's number one team in the country.
Based on what?
Their record, right?
No. Based on what are they the number one team in the country?
The polls.
Yeah, the polls, which is based on a bunch of people sitting in a room that have either never played the game of football or haven't done it for a long time. Some with vested interests because you have ADs from conferences that are in that room.
They have to recuse themselves.
ADs from school. Sure, they do. And I'm just—it's a sham of a system.
How did SC do in the Cotton Bowl?
We lost.
Okay, good.
That's fine. That's not, I would say this if SC was in it. It's a sham. And if the NFL had a similar situation, the Buffalo Bills wouldn't even be in it. Because in the NFL, and this is what I actually tweeted this last night, why the NFL is the most watched and the best when it comes to deciding who the champion around football is because you have to earn the right to get to the playoffs. You earn it. This team, the Jaguars, earned the right to win the conference championship, earned the right to have a home field, home playoff game, and the Buffalo Bills earned the wild card based on 16 games. And I've heard for my entire adult life how every game in college football matters. No, it doesn't. Every game doesn't matter in college football. Every game matters in the NFL. And the reason the Chargers weren't in is because they couldn't figure out a way after two interceptions under 2 minute warning to beat the Jags. Mm-hmm. Or they missed multiple field goals in the playoffs. So I don't feel sorry for them. They don't deserve to be here because they didn't earn it. This team earned it. The Buffalo Bills earned it. That's why this is a much better system than the sham of college football, how we decide by voting like figure skating who the people who get to play for the national title are. Because last time I checked, the only undefeated team in Division I football is UCF, who, by the way, beat the team that beat Auburn, and they beat them soundly.
Beat Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
Auburn did.
And UCF, I think, took them to the woodshed.
If you – yeah, watch out for the Russian judge, by the way. So
yeah, seriously, the college football is full of Russian judges.
You're too big to stand on a soapbox.
For the boss who gave us the segment.
It's okay. Hey, you had to get it out of your system. SC anger. I get it.
It's not SC anger.
It kind of is. You're out of the party. So defense. We started with Calais Campbell there to begin that segment. His advice to players who've never been in the playoffs before,
which is
the majority of this team. I mean, it's three guys. That's it, right? I mean, Campbell and Malik Jackson and Barry Church have been in the playoffs.
Clayus.
That's about
Malik,
it.
Malik. Barry Church. AJ Boye.
Boye. Texans.
Texans.
That's it, right?
Offensively, yes, Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes. That's all you got.
I'm trying to think down the line.
So who do you lean on for? There's not a lot.
Well, those guys.
Right.
I mean, when we went 96, there was a long list of guys. That, I mean, go look at that group. I don't think any of us had been in it outside of, I'm trying to think who, Clyde Simmons, maybe. Wow. I mean, so, does that matter?
Yeah, maybe does experience matter once the game starts as a game, right?
I mean, I think everyone's pretty aware this is a big deal, right?
You would think.
And so I think everyone understands. Now, the first time you go out to that first series, it's maybe a little shock to the system because I can't explain why. But I remember as a young player, preseason is one speed. Then you get to the regular season, you're like, whoa, this is for real now. And I'll never forget, because I didn't play in the preseason my rookie year. In 96, I was in the preseason, and we had a game against the Rams, back then the St. Louis Rams, and Leslie O'Neal, who's like a 120 sack guy, was a veteran, and he was playing right end. And I mean, it was like easy. This guy has been. 5 weeks later, we played in the regular season. The first play of the game, I'm like, this is a different game.
Oh, it was a playoff game. Yeah,
no, the regular season. We went from preseason to regular season. This is a different game.
Yeah.
It was a different game. I was being played against this guy. And I go back to 96 as well. You go from the intensity of the regular season, and you step on the field during the playoffs. From the stands to the atmosphere in the stadium to the level of intensity of the play, it's different. I don't know how guys can play harder, but they do. And all of a sudden, everything's on the line. I love playoff football because there's nothing else to worry about but that game, that moment, that play. Nothing else matters. Nothing that happened before or to happen tomorrow doesn't matter. It's that, and it is so much fun, but the intensity is much higher. So as a player, you got to be ready for that. Now, Clayus and Malik and all the guys we just mentioned, they can try to communicate that, but until you're out there, it doesn't matter. And so as long as you prepare the right way this week, which I got to believe they will, because you have guys on the staff that have been in the playoffs and coached in Super Bowls. So you have guys on the staff, and your head of operations, football operations, and Tom Coughlin obviously understands. And so you hope you communicate that, but until you step on the field and go do it, then you'll know it's different.
Yeah.
You can't explain it, but you'll know that first play, you'll step on there like, this is different.
As Calais said there, you do the same routine that got you here, but maybe just a little bit more. Is that about accurate? in watch the preparation.
You watch
this
an
week.
Extra hour of tape. You watch. Yeah. You know, you get a couple of extra reps. You work on your. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, your footwork a little bit extra on the field. You do time, extra time in the rehab to get healthy. You know, whatever it is, you make sure you get it done.
There's still only 24 hours in a day. I mean, you can't.
We'll make it 26 this week.
Right, add a couple.
Find a way.
Right. Hey, we'll come back and get into the defense a bit more and how they've improved over the last week or so from the two-week-ago performance in San Francisco. The Jags and the Bills coming up this Sunday. The AFC wildcard game is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. And this is Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday on Jaguars Radio.
It's hard to say it isn't, but, you know, I'm just happy for the opportunity, man. It's just crazy. And God is funny, and just don't question his work. Just do your job. They had to make a move, and it's business. I mean, but it can't act like it doesn't hurt.
Does it still hurt? I mean, do you still think about it? Does it still hurt?
Oh, no. No. It's just ironic that we have to see these guys, and it just kind of, it brings up old memories.
Marcell Dareus asked about facing his former team in the wildcard playoff game this Sunday at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Frisco is on the ground in Jacksonville. He will be here shortly.
Yeah, supposedly.
Allegedly. We'll see.
He said he's calling in here in a second, Joe.
We'll see if he makes it here. Defensively, Marcell Dareus was brought in to help fix the run game. And maybe not by his play, which he did. He was pretty good for a lot of the season for the Jags. But the play of the guys around him improved there on the defensive line against the run. The numbers improved steadily as the season went on.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, they're 19th.
They were dead last at one point.
Yeah, they were 31st, 32nd. I think they're 19th in the league right now. No, 21st in the league. So they've improved statistically. Still not great. I mean, if you look at the statistics, they're giving up 116 a game. The Titans had over 100 yards rushing against them. The Bills were giving up 124. So, you know, 8 yards different. It's not that big a deal. But this defense is much better than the Bills. I mean, just the sacks alone. You know, it's interesting. Joe, you were around in 99. This team had 55 sacks this year.
Yes.
Which is just enormous. I mean, just a huge number. But isn't the franchise record. And I don't remember us having that many sacks back then. I think we had 57, I guess, is the record, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Which is remarkable to think.
Didn't get there. They were on pace to set the league record at one point.
The pass rush has slowed down, too. Hasn't it felt that way to you a little bit?
They're not getting five, six, seven sacks a game anymore, getting back there all the time. Why is that?
And I don't think that, like, even against the Titans, I didn't see them affecting the quarterback that much. The sacks that they did have, if you go back and look at the sacks, a number of them were because of the coverage down the field, and Mariota had nowhere to go with it. Mm-hmm. And so there was not a lot of immediate winning up front. There was at times, but like what you saw in the, let's say, the first 10 games of the season, it was just an all-out, like, shark, you know, blood in the water for sharks. I mean, just, you know.
Chum.
Going after guys. And it has slowed down a little bit. And so that's another thing to watch. And maybe not as much as important this week, but if you can find a way to win this week, it's going to be very important when you go up to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
But I mean, we'll talk about that next week, hopefully.
I like that. I like.
Hopefully we will be talking
optimism,
about that.
Yes. The optimism is there. It seemed like in Tennessee that they calmed things down a little bit. You know, they had the unsportsmanlike penalties a couple of weeks ago. They were close to the edge a couple of times. Remember, Mercedes got in locked in with Cyprian at one point. But defensively, especially, it's a group that goes to the edge and a little beyond sometimes, but they kind of toned it back a little bit for the most part in that game. They got to, because as you said, the intensity is totally different this coming Sunday in the playoff game. And in big moments, there have been key penalties like
that. Well, you got to be smart. And I thought it was, and there was one that, the only time I felt like it was close, it was Ngakoue, something had happened. And I think it was a little bit of a cheap shot he took from Tyler Lewan, the left tackle. And Calais immediately got in front of him, grabbed him, said, "Hey, let's calm down." And to Yannick's credit, he did, and did a nice job. And there were no issues with that right now in that game. But the intensity will be up. Mm-hmm. This defense will be flying You know that.
They'll be talking, too.
And they'll be talking. They always talk. But you have to be smart because everything gets tighter in the playoffs. Everything is magnified in the playoffs. And you don't want to do something that hurts your team. Shaking your head like you disagree.
No, I agree. No, you. But that's the way they are, man, sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make it okay.
No, I agree with that. But you don't. You want to tell?
If I use that excuse with my wife, she would slap me. It's just the way I am.
It's just the way they're built.
It's just the way I'm made.
I mean, that doesn't go over well.
No, really. You don't get to use that line.
No. I'm just and that, but you maybe rather that's say why you,
maybe
than giddy up.
Maybe that's why you're single, JP.
That's one of the reasons why. we won't go down that road. Defensively, the back end though. I mean, these guys have been made plays all year.
They've been great.
They can cover anybody. What kind of matchup is Benjamin for the secondary? Just first glance. Yeah, I know
there's nothing that scares me.
No.
You know, Charles Clay is the biggest threat, the tight end.
Tight ends.
But
yeah.
I like, you know, you like Miles Jack and Telvin Smith, Barry Church, those guys matching up against him.
He's not the best tight end they faced all year.
No, not even close. So there's nothing that's what scares me about this game. There's nothing offensively that scares me outside of Tyrod Taylor running around. Now, if LeSean McCoy was healthy, now you're holding your breath because – as we saw last year, he can go 80 at any point and run away from you because he has that type of ability. He is not going to be healthy even if he plays, and I don't think he'll be that effective if he plays based on him being carted off. And I believe it's an ankle, correct? It's an ankle,
yes, ankle
injury.
Yes, got carted off the field.
He's a space player, a guy who makes some of the most amazing cuts. He reminds you of Barry Sanders at times watching him cut. And so if this ankle, and we're seeing it right now on – Jaguars.com, if you're watching, you can see the video of him getting injured last week against the Dolphins. If he can't go, and even if he goes, I just don't see him being effective.
He won't
effective.
Be the real
no,
same
because
shady.
He,
no.
You know, it's one thing if you're a power back and you have that injury because you can just go downhill, one cut downhill. He is a guy who makes multiple cuts on every play. And I just don't think he's going to have that ability. And that's what, you know, and with him not in there, there's nothing that scares you, which does scare me because there's nothing that does scare me. I'd rather be worried about something. So we'll see. That's one of the things I'll be tracking closely, and I think every this coaching staff and everyone will be, is the health of LeSean McCoy and how that progresses. I know we all pray for miracles at moments. This is not the time we want a miracle for LeSean McCoy. Nothing against LeSean.
Sure, he's a nice guy.
Wish you the best.
I wish you the best.
I hope you're fully healed on Tuesday.
Next week.
On Monday.
Next week.
Next Monday, I hope you're fully healed.
We'll come back in a moment. Get into
That's not very nice.
It is what it is. The playoffs, baby. Come on, you got to win. Your competitor,
My
Tony.
Wife will be upset.
She'll be fine when the Jags go to Pittsburgh.
That's right, baby.
Second hour coming up. Tony Buscelli, Twitter question of the night. Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1 is the number. We would get to PFF grades, I guess, but Pete is in transit.
I'm disappointed in Pete.
We'll pass on them tonight. Second hour, Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday, coming up on Jaguars Radio.
Just like I told our team, you can take all the season. You can take that stuff, and all that stuff is great. This is the start of a different type of season. You know, this is 12 teams, you know, 6 in the AFC, 6 in the NFC. Every one of those teams has overcome something during the year and has earned the right to be. Every one of those teams is dangerous, and it comes down to how you perform on that Sunday. It really does. So, for me, I'm concentrating on getting this team ready to play its best football, you know, come Sunday.
Doug Marrone, Jaguars head coach. It's a new season now. The playoffs are here.
And I think I heard him say everyone has earned the right to be in that game.
That's what he just said.
Unlike college football.
The man said it.
Unlike college football.
Doug Marrone.
No one was voted in for these playoffs, boys and girls.
Nope.
You had to play your way in.
That's right.
This isn't a beauty contest. This isn't the, you know, skating federation where we all vote in some room to rank the teams.
It's professional football.
This is pro football where you earn the right to be there. UCF would be in the playoffs if it was a real system like the NFL.
Keep going. Now you're on a roll, Tony.
Let's go. No, we got a big game. Let's talk Jaguars.
When was the last time USC got in the playoff?
This is not about
yes,
USC.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes.
No, it's You're, not.
You have USC
I actually don't,
angst.
I don't care about Alabama or any other school. I care about one school.
Florida State.
It has nothing to do with the playoffs. Pete will tell you.
NC State.
Pete's on the phone. He'll tell you.
Pete Briscoe.
That the system in college football is idiotic. That's why the NFL is king, because you earn the right to be in the playoffs.
Arizona State would have a chance either way.
Pete, am I correct?
No, you're right. The NFL, you win it on the field. You can't recruit everybody to make sure you're the best team every year. It's a much better system. I mean, let's face it. It's all about recruiting. You look at the players. I was watching that game cast last night with that game, and Alabama shuffled in the second offensive, the defensive line, and only coaches went, there you go, 930 pounds of new players. Nobody else could do that.
But forget about that, Pete. At least we're not voting. Could you imagine if, like, you had CBS, okay, Pete, vote who should be in the playoffs for the NFL. Idiotic.
Would the Jaguars get in if they got voted in?
I think this year they would.
You'd have to sway the voters.
I think the Bills would be the team that'd be out.
Strength of victory, though. I don't know if it would be good enough.
Yeah, but you could put, yeah, they got to put the Jaguars in ahead of the Ravens. They destroyed them, so they would get in. Yeah, and the Chargers would probably be the last team, right? That's how it would probably go.
Right. But you know what? Win the games. Win when you need to.
Hey, Pete, where are you right now?
Hey, I'm on my way down, but you'll love this. I get run into my car in the garage, and one of our fans rolls down his window and he goes, "You're talking about you on the radio, but Sully's saying you're scared to come in there."
I love it.
Well, are you scared, Pete?
I'm on my way. Scared of that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're used to not being in the same room. You say all these idiotic things. You don't have to face me. Now you have to face the music.
Oh, I'll face the music. I'll treat you like John Randall treated you. How's that?
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
That's why I love Pete.
Wow.
Never backs down.
Wow.
Even when he's wrong.
Hey, hey, Pete, is this Jaguars team poised and ready to play this Sunday by the looks of the last 2 weeks?
You know, I think you have to put a little asterisk on the last 2 weeks. Not just me. You go to San Francisco and you play a team out there and you fall behind and you've already clinched and you're on the West Coast and you never play well on the West Coast. And so you got to put an asterisk next to that. And then they come back against the Titans in a situation where a lot of teams wouldn't even play guys, and you're playing a game that means absolutely nothing to you. And your defense shows up and plays well, and the offense does nothing. I think you got to put asterisks next to the last two games and go from there. I think that they mean nothing to me. They really don't.
Hmm. I probably would give you more. I could buy your argument in San Francisco, Pete, but not last week, not the division rival. They came out, they gave it everything they had, and they didn't play well. That's what worries me.
But, Tony, the motivation was there for the Titans. There was none for Jackson. Where's the motivation?
Okay, but why defensively?
Played pretty good on
defense.
Played
great defensively.
Well, because the offense on Tennessee is very good. There's a good reason. And, you know, I just don't think you got to put a lot of credence into those. I just don't. I think this is one of those situations where a young team, you know, clinched the division and then kind of looked at it and said, you know what, there's not a lot at stake here in the next 2 weeks, and there wasn't.
Hmm. What?
Maybe I'm blowing that out of proportion, but that's just the way I feel about it.
Well, they couldn't have got a better matchup. I mean, it all worked out. You talk about the stars aligning and where a loss now looks good. Part of the reason I thought they needed to play that game, Pete, I didn't think you wanted to play the Titans again at home in the first round of the playoffs. Just the way they beat you week two, and then if you were to lose week 17, to have to play them one more time, and my thinking could be very clouded from 99. I understand that 100%. But with all that said, I think it could not have worked out better for them to play a at best case scenario, a beat-up Buffalo team with a beat-up LeSean McCoy.
Oh, they got the right opponent. There's no question. I mean, you talk about a team that's limited offensively, particularly if McCoy can't play. I mean, that's the team you want to play, and they're not very good against the run on defense. I think you're right. If you could have plucked an opponent out of the sky and said, this is the one you want to play, it would have been Buffalo and not Los Angeles and probably not Tennessee again and probably not Baltimore even. So, yeah, it worked out for the best for them.
Pete, you talk they're not very good on defense, and if you look at the raw numbers, you're right. And I haven't dug into the film a bunch yet, or at all, frankly. But you look at the season, it seems like it's a team that's either hot or cold. Their losses are really bad losses where they just get run through. But when they win, their defense is very good.
Yeah, like they went to Kansas City and won and played a pretty good game out there. You know, so, yeah, you're right. At times they have looked good. I don't think it's that great a defense, to be honest with you. I think they're very beatable if you want to pound it at them and run right at them. And I think that's what Jacksonville will do. I think that this is the – you know, look, let's be honest, Tony. The run game numbers for Jacksonville is huge.
Especially as of late, Pete. They have not run the ball well.
I mean, you got the long run by Fournette, right? And then, granted, they count. You had the punt, fake punt by Grant. Well, how long was that one? There's a couple of them this year, right? Yeah, yeah. And then you got Blake's running numbers, which you count those too. But when you envision this team before the season, you thought they'd be a power team that would line up and run Fournette. He'd get 1,300, 1,400 yards, and they control the clock and control time of possession. Well, that's not who they are. They're not that. Maybe early in the season they were that, but they're not. They haven't been that in the last 6 weeks.
And that's what worries you, Pete.
Right. We're trying to talk through earlier, Pete, about why. What are the reasons? Is it the line? Is it the running backs? Is it play calling or all the above, you know?
Well, I think in recent weeks the left tackle has been a disaster. Wells is bad. And when Robinson was in there, he wasn't playing great either. That's been a major problem. You had guys missing time. You know how that goes when you have Omame. And early in the season when they had reps together and played a lot of reps together, they looked good. And then everybody started getting hurt, and all of a sudden they didn't look good. So I think that adds to it. Fournette wasn't the same back he was early in the season. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it.
It's concerning, though, for a team that's built around that to not be doing that at a high level going into the playoffs. That's not ideal. So,
the other thing, too, Tony, you know this. There's a difference between being the number one ranked run team and being a dominant run team. And there is a difference with this team. They're the number one ranked run team, but you don't see a dominant run game. When you used to play, remember when you used to go against Denver and Terrell Davis and that gang? That was a dominant run game. This is not a dominant run game.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, if you take the fake punt out and you take Bortles' run yards out, they're averaging 4 yards a carry and 117 yards a game, which would put them, you know, right with, you know, probably 15th in the league or something, you know. And now you can't do that. You can't take away stuff like that. It is what it is. But to your point,
no, but you can't take away the numbers. You can take away what they are, though, and that shows what they are. They're not that. They're not that dominant.
To your point, Pete, I'll say it this way. The last 6 weeks, just the eye test, it does not look like a dominant running team. So forget all the numbers. And because I say it all the time, numbers can lie to you. It's not, and I'll go back to 99 when, you know, we were 14-2. And Pete's gone over these numbers. Now, it was a different era. If you looked at that team, we were an explosive offense. Number two, rushing. And we could run it against just about anybody. And you had Jimmy Smith and everything else. And you think dominant passing game. But if you go look at the numbers, and Pete did this, the passing yards, you know, like Brunell had 18 touchdowns and the backups had to play a couple times because of injury. Maybe they had a couple. I mean, it wasn't like if you just looked at the numbers, now it's a different era, you'd be like, well, doesn't jump off the pages, but when you watch that team, and I'll let Pete talk to it more than me because he watched them, he covered us, so you're always skewed as a player. But Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, you watch that team and you feel like this is a dominant offense. If you look at the offensive numbers for the Jaguars now, they're fifth overall. It doesn't feel like the fifth overall offense.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't feel like the number one rushing offense. And I'm not being critical. It's just the eye test. When you watch them, you don't get the sense they can line up and just at will.
They're not running 13 play drives and running every play like they did week 5.
And, Pete, my point was, and I'd love to hear what you think, is great running teams go 2 yards, 1 yard, 5 yards, 0 yards, 15, 3, 6, you know, 10. You get these big chunks of yards at moments. They're not doing that right now.
No, you don't ever see him wear down a defense with their run game. You don't see that. It's not like, you know, you go five, you know, like you said, five, four, three, first down, six, three, two, bang, the defense is wearing down, you run over a guy, they're getting worn down. You don't see that. That's not there. It's not who they are.
And that's what worries me getting into the playoffs, because when we talked, let's say, week 9 and 10, and I said this team can travel and will be a dangerous playoff team, it was for two reasons. One, the great defense, which I still think is there. And two, a great rushing attack, which I have not seen as of late. And that's what worries me. Now, I think they beat Buffalo. I don't know, to your point, Pete, I don't know how Buffalo scores 1 point without LeSean McCoy, outside of a broken play with Tyrod Taylor running around.
Yeah, you might get some of those contained plays with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, you know, where somebody loses contain and the defensive back doesn't, you know, plaster, and he keeps his head up and makes a lob down the field and makes the throw. You might get a few of those. But other than that, I can't see, Tony, how they're going to move the football and score points, particularly if McCoy's not 100%. And he clearly isn't going to be 100% even if he plays.
Yeah, it's not the same Shady McCoy we're all used to if he's out on the field at all, the way they carted it
off last week. And look, he's such a big part of what they do in the passing game, too. He's capable, you know, coming out of the backfield. He's a good screen game guy. I mean, I think they lose a lot in terms of who they are as an offense if he's not on the field. And they're not a great offense to begin with. Where are the playmakers? If you take him off the field, aside from Tyrod Taylor scrambling around, where are the playmakers? Are there any?
Pete, I that's what I'm just saying. I don't know how they score against the Jaguars. I mean, I hate to say this, and I refuse to lock a game. I won't lock it.
But
I see no scenario outside of four turnovers by the Jaguars offense and some special teams craziness. I see no way this Buffalo Bills team can score enough points to beat the Jaguars.
So
no, I don't either. I don't either. So call it a lock, Tony. It's a lock. I'll call it a lock. It's a lock.
I can't do that.
You know, you know me. I don't call games lock. This is a lock. The Jaguars are not losing to that football team, particularly if Shady McCoy is not in the game. They will not lose that game.
I promised I would not lock any more games this year after I.
Well, this is a new year. It's 2018.
Good point. It's a lock.
Wow, we got
it. You waited a whole 2 days of 2018 to go.
I forgot. I said I couldn't in 2017. That's right. It's a lock.
The new year.
The Jags are winning. You heard it here first.
Again. Wow. You heard it here. Tony's locked.
I'm unlocking it just out of fear. I'm unlocking it. I just had a.
Why? Like a, why are you? I said, why would you unlock that?
Because the fear of something going wrong and me being blamed for it. I can't take that pressure.
Too late now.
I unlocked it. I had the key still.
You know what's going to be on the bulletin board? Tony Boselli says it's a lock. Orchard Park, they're going to be watching this show and talking about you.
First of all, as Pete will tell you, bulletin board stuff is the most idiotic thing ever. If you need a bulletin board to motivate you during the playoff, then you should quit.
Worked in Denver for you guys.
It did not work. It had nothing to do with it. Whether I woke up and read Woody Page's article or not, did not matter how I blocked Alfred Williams. Pete,
yeah,
am I wrong?
No, the fact that you didn't pump the entire game is why they won the entire second. From the second quarter on, is the fact that they won the game. It had nothing to do with anything Woody Page wrote. If Doug Burrow came out today and said, I left Buffalo because I hated Buffalo and I hated that team and I hated that organization, it would matter none when they kicked the ball off. Zero. Zippo.
I hate to say it. I agree with Pete.
Hey, let's get to the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Noti and Krista has the question. Does the crowd noise really help players, or is it overrated? Of course, the Jags have a sold-out house, standing room only. They've untarped 3,500 seats. They all sold out in a matter of minutes. 69,000 and change will be here Sunday to support the Jaguars. The secondary market's going through the roof right now for this game.
Why isn't anyone writing about that, Pete? Why don't you, some of your national guys actually write the story that the – in an era where it's hard to sell tickets and you have teams struggling, you know, and as far as filling places, that the Jaguars, within matters of minutes, sold out this place.
I said it on our show the other day. I said, well, look, you guys, there's a lot of people out there give that city and that organization a bunch of grief. Bottom line is, they sold out their tickets in no time. I mean, and the passion is there. and the passion is real. And I think it's a good, real good situation and a good start for this organization to get back to what they used to be. I really do. I think it's a great sign. I mean, this is as big as about 15 minutes or something, didn't they?
Right. And I'm looking on StubHub right now in the resale market. The cheapest ticket in the stadium for a single ticket, standing room only, is $258.99 right now.
Wow. So to answer the question, yes, it matters. The atmosphere created by a crowd matters to players. Now, is it end-all, be-all? No. But don't kid yourself. I've been on the other end in stadiums where you can't hear, and it makes it harder to communicate as an offense. It makes it harder to execute as an offense.
That's people who go to Seattle.
And when it's loud and when you walk into a full stadium at home and your crowd and your fans are going crazy, it energizes you. It gives you now, is it going to make me play better? No, because I got to go execute and go play the game. But trust me, it matters. That atmosphere matters. Fans matter. Their presence there helps football teams, especially. It hurts the opposing offense, and it helps the home defense.
Absolutely. All right, I'm pulled in, fellas. I'll be in a
second. Oh, Pete's going to show up finally.
Okay, we'll be back with Pete.
About time,
Briscoe.
Pete. You're late. You're fine.
he hung up on us.
He's fine.
Same time. Pete will be here in just a moment. We'll have your calls, 355-NFL-1. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Rolling along, Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday. Bless you, Tony, on Jaguars Radio.
Thank you.
Two seconds, 1 second, that's it. The Bills survive a late rush by the Dolphins. Not unlike the game 2 weeks ago, really. Buffalo wins it 22-16 over the Miami Dolphins. The Bills finish the season 9-7. The Dolphins drop to 6-10. And we wait the results from Baltimore.
Andy Dalton takes the snap. Steps up, fires down the middle, complete at the 15-10-5. Touchdown,
oh
Cincinnati. Tyler Boyd with a touchdown. No flags on the play, and disbelief has shrouded the stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
There you have it, the calls of the incredible endings.
Oh, my gosh. We have no headphones for Briscoe.
That's all right. I can hear you loud and clear.
Pete Briscoe is with us here in studio.
Loud and clear.
John Murphy had the call of the final second to the Bills' victory in Miami. Jerry Sandusky with the call of the Ravens losing to the Bengals and missing the playoffs. Jaguars Monday, and of course all that, put the Bills in Jacksonville this Sunday for the wild card playoff game. JP,
when did these come? The last time they made the playoffs? My God. Or when you started? I mean, jeez. Look at these headphones.
I think those are Doug Marrone's headphones.
Oh, my gosh. These
hey,
are
Pete.
Terrible.
What's up, man? Good to see you in person.
My gosh,
wow.
Is it cold.
Why are you so late? What happened?
The weather was terrible in Fort Lauderdale today.
So
everything was pouring, windy, and so everything was delayed. And so it said 5:00. I figured, okay, I'd get here. Then it went to 5:20, and then it took forever. I don't know why. Maybe because the weather took them forever to get here. I was so angry.
You're an angry
you
man.
Seem angry,
I am an angry
yeah.
man. Nah, happy guy. New year, new outlook. Playoff week.
What's
right?
What's your New Year's resolution?
To lose my fat.
You have a long way to go.
Hey, I think you better call Dr. DPSCCO again.
I started on a health kick today.
You know what, Tony? You know what it is?
Today.
You know what I call this time of the year?
Yeah, fat ball season. It is, man.
How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
He's fat. I'm not.
We're all fat. It's fat ball season. I tell everybody I work with. John Beeson played linebacker at the NFL. Started the season. He's 220. He's all ripped. He's up to 237 or something already. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, especially this time because it's fat ball season and it's Christmas cookie time season.
And it's
and
cold.
Stuff. It's cold.
It's cold. It makes you want to eat something.
That's all I want to do is
yeah,
eat.
Yeah. Eat and sleep. And I don't do either. I eat. I don't sleep.
Why is it so cold?
I don't know. I tell you what, it was chilly in Fort Lauderdale today, which is...
It's supposed to snow tonight.
Like real snow?
That's what they say.
Don't scare everybody.
Isn't that what they said? Joe?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Flurries.
Flurries.
Hey,
thank you.
When I was in high school, it actually snowed in South Florida when I was in high school.
Come on.
I swear to God. It was like little bits and pieces of it, but it did. I mean, we were all out. It was in high school. I was a senior in high school.
Did you make a snowman?
That wasn't that much. I missed the snow here that one year because I was actually
89.
Home for Christmas. Yeah, I was home for Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a big year.
So you guys both locked this game.
I unlocked it.
No, you locked it. Once you lock it, you can't unlock it.
I got the
you're
key.
In.
The permit.
You're in.
I have the key.
No, you're in.
I just don't see how they can score enough points. Now, The way the Jaguars lose this game, if they do, is turnovers and special teams.
Short fields, all that kind
of
stuff.
If Bortles turns the ball over, they will lose the game.
That's right.
There's no doubt they will lose the game. Because you give any quarterback in the NFL 10, 15,
and
20 yards.
Tyrod Taylor is talented.
No, he can get outside the pocket and make some plays. He's scary. If you keep him in the pocket, you'll win the game easily.
I agree. But that's the only way. Turnovers, special teams. Turnovers on offense or turnovers on special teams. I mean, Jadon Mickens cannot come up and make those. Just what was he thinking?
Well, you know what? Was it every one of the young guys made a mistake last week?
Yeah, Cole fumbled. Touchdown that Westbrook dropped. Rowdy dropped. Ugh.
See, those guys started reading their press clippings.
I think they were cold.
Yeah, you
18
do?
Degrees.
I don't know. But
What was the temperature on that day? Because I saw where somebody said it was one of the coldest games in Jaguars history.
It was the coldest game in the Titans' history.
It was
Tennessee.
The fifth coldest in Jaguars' history.
You know what's weird? I looked at that list, and I wasn't covering the team for any of them. Did you guys never play in any cold weather? Yeah, you did.
In 2000. I think you were gone. Were you gone in 2000?
No, but you played playoff games that were colder
than
that.
Didn't you play a game in Cincinnati one
Cincinnati
year?
Was like minus.
I had left by then.
Yeah, minus 15.
Yeah, but in the playoff game in Foxborough in 96.
It was in the team. It was, you know, single digit.
Yeah, it was much colder than some of those games they listed. That's why it said it was one of the five coldest games in history.
But you know those – they always miss games, and because the temperature, it's where you get the temperature and the wind chill. And
but it was cold, though, right?
It was cold.
Remember the old
18.
Like, some of those games when you're on the sideline, you can be really cold when you're doing Westwood One games.
Oh, my.
So Foxborough a couple years, wasn't that in the playoffs?
It was
a couple
minus. It was miserable.
That was the game. I think me and you were both going to the game, and I saw you at the airport, and you said, I'm going out in the blaze of glory. You go to Providence. You're going to eat everything and anything you could.
Oh,
and
I fattened
and then
up.
And then he started DPSSSO the next week.
And I fattened up, though. I needed a layer, an extra layer to stay warm.
It was cold. It was cold.
It was miserable.
So we've talked through the run game. How do they get that going?
Worried about it.
Yeah, it's a problem right
you
now.
You watch the offensive line tape. Is it somebody? I mean, Wells is bad. Come on, there's no way you could sugarcoat that. He makes Luke Joko look like he was an all-pro left tackle.
In the pass, he was okay. He did a good job against Rackbo.
But he's not good in the run game, though.
Well, the what they did early, which was it stood out as an offensive line, they stayed on blocks. They finished blocks. And I don't think they're doing that as well. But I also, Pete, I don't think Leonard Fournette's right. Do you see the explosiveness, the finishing the run, making guys miss? The great backs – and we saw this out of him early. You're going to be one-on-one with guys when they have eight in the box. And it's making that guy miss and turning a 3 or 4 yard carry into 10-15.
Well, that's always been my biggest criticism of him, even going back to last year. I didn't think he was a wiggle guy. And he isn't.
No.
Some of the runs that he misses, old 28 would have hit him. He would have.
Two different backs.
Right, but, well. There's still two-thirds. Both of them are two. You know, you think Leonard Fournette is this big giant back. 28 was 232, right? Yeah. I mean, he wasn't right. A little guy. What is Fournette listed at?
I'll look it up. Stand by.
Well, Fred was 230, ran 4.240.
At some point, he was a little over 230.
And he went side to side at 4.1.
you can't teach that.
228 is what he's
listed
at.
Okay, he's listed at 228, and you look at him and you go, big physical, punching back.
Fred was big, too.
But you didn't think of Fred as a big punishing
back. No, because he was
back.
So fast and
right.
Elusive.
Right. So I'm with Tony. I don't think Fournette is close to being what he's been or what he should be. And maybe it's the injury. Maybe it's lack of reps when he missed the time. He was more comfortable early in the season. Maybe the offensive line isn't playing well. Maybe he's frustrated by seeing 14 guys every time he takes a handoff. I mean, there's a lot of things at play there.
But most good running teams see eight in the box.
True. You got to win against those.
I'm tired of hearing that excuse. It's not like the Jaguars are the only team facing eight in the box looks.
No.
I mean, come on. Everyone runs first and second down. Most teams are running the safety in the box.
And at times in the second half of the season, they've made teams pay for having that look.
That's right.
So, he's got to be better. The line's got to be better. They run the ball better.
It's both.
The tight ends, too?
It's both.
Yeah. Tight ends. But early in the season, tight ends were blocking well, and then they kind of went. In the middle of the season, they weren't as good. Have they bounced back at all? You think Lewis has bounced back at all?
I think Mercedes has been pretty consistent.
But not what he used to be, though, right?
No, but he was the best blocking tight end in football for five or six
like
years.
Like a tackle, yeah, like an extra tackle.
He was as good as most – he blocked as well as most offensive tackles. So, but the run game has to get going. If this team wants to make noise in the playoffs, The run game has to get going.
But it has to get going again like it was going. It can't be just go ahead and line up and run it. Maybe this week you can, but I don't think consistently you can do that. I don't. I don't think they can do that consistently.
Well, if they win this week, and we'll talk about that next week, but the Steelers, you can't do that.
No, you got to throw the ball. You got to be able to throw the ball. Hey, I mean, first down passing, I go back to it all the time. The numbers. I mean, I want to talk about Blake a little bit because has Blake really been as bad the past 2 weeks as everybody's portraying him as?
We were talking about that earlier. Some of the picks were good decisions, just not executed on the back end.
Not in this game, though, Pete.
No, this one was as bad. But against San Francisco, the back shoulder throw, is that a miscommunication?
Miscommunication with the young receiver.
Okay, the 1-2 Cole where he was crossing the
field. Never should have thrown the ball, but Cole has to run through it.
Right.
But he never should have thrown it. It's a bad decision.
And then the third one.
The deep end, I'm okay with that. He's trying to shove it in there, and it was a great play by the underneath corner.
And then the rest of the game, he made a lot of really good throws. He did have a throw in the guy's stomach that was dropped.
Another interception.
So, but you know what? Every quarterback in the league has one of those at some point.
Sure, absolutely.
So, and then last week wasn't good.
No.
But I thought the whole team, the offense was bad last week, all the way around.
Well, they only had 229 total.
If Westbrook catches the touchdown pass, you think differently about it?
I think the whole game feels different.
Right. So, I mean, you got to look at it from that standpoint. Again, I go back to my theory on him. You can't put him in the box and tell him to go because he goes bad. It goes bad.
But that's the biggest concern I have. If they get behind in the fourth quarter, he has not shown the ability to put this team on its back and go win.
But at San Francisco, when they were down 14, he did bring them back and they took the lead.
In the third quarter. I'm saying late in the game.
Well, those guys are hard to find, though. You don't know if Jared Goff can do it, right?
Fair enough. But this year, they came back and won one game being down in the fourth quarter. That was San Diego, and he threw two. They won in spite of.
Although he did have his best drive of the year. Third quarter.
I just worry about if this team gets down by a couple of possessions, you worry can they come back?
Yeah, of course. Particularly when you look at a receiver core that has a lot of kids playing in it. I mean, what's the status on Marquise Lee for this week?
We'll find out.
Yeah, nothing yet. But yeah.
What would you think?
I think he plays.
Now, Doug Marone said last week at the end of the week he was trending up.
Yeah, I think he plays. Yeah.
So you get him back. Hearns getting back gives him a different element than what they have. He's not a quick little guy, but he's a reliable guy.
Yeah.
You know? And Keelan Cole's playing good football.
Yeah. And Westbrook's got to – hey, look, Westbrook's got to start –
he did not play well last week.
No, he's got to start catching the football. He's got the skills. I think he's got a chance to be your special receiver. You got to start showing it. Maybe it's the playoff. Maybe the playoffs are his coming out party.
Let's hope.
We'll come back and get into Doug Marone facing his former team. He's not going there this week.
Most overrated storyline of the week, by the way.
That's what he thinks, too.
There's only like five guys left on the team.
There's six and there's four starters.
Who cares?
You think they're holding a grudge?
Maybe we won't talk about that.
Maybe they were happy he left. I think they were, by the way. I think Marcell Dareus was one of them.
Well, he's here now.
Yeah, I know.
Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. See why the Travel Channel included Everbank on its list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit Jaguars.com for more information. More Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco in studio tonight. Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday.
We did a little research of cold games. Ah. And let me tell you, the coldest game in the history of this franchise was the 2000 Cincinnati Bengals game. 9 degrees temperature at kick. Minus 20.
That's all.
Wind chill. Never been so cold in my life.
There was nothing colder than when the Titans came in here and won in 99, though. That was the coldest day ever in franchise history.
Different reasons. A different type of cold.
Uh-oh.
It was uh-oh. We still haven't played the song. We're not going
You know what? I showed it to some guys the other day down there, and Leon Searcy rapping might be my favorite part of the entire.
Oh, it's great.
It's unbelievable. Isn't the 99 team having a reunion of some sort?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I've seen that on
Searcy
is
doing it, yeah.
Is any guys coming in?
I don't know. They're doing a tailgate. I'll be working, so I can't go.
You should stop by before to see some of the guys if they're there, though.
Well, it depends what time. We get here early. We get here 3.5 hours before the game.
You can walk out the front door and go
see. Well, it depends where it is.
He's Tony Baselli. Oh, his name's on the wall.
Well, you know what? They'll give him a golf cart.
You're the one who keeps me busy. You got all these hits for me.
They gave him a private plane when he heard he got a boo-boo on his knee. At Stevens Point, they'll give him a golf cart. To go.
Boo-boo. I'm going to give you a boo-boo.
What was that injury?
Dislocated kneecap.
And you played, right?
I played 5 weeks later, 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
All right.
Nowadays they'd shelve you.
It's a different game.
Right before
I was talking about that, Pete. This week, you find a way to get on the field.
Oh, yeah.
By all
no
medical.
Doubt. Nothing.
If it's legal and borderline ethical, you find a way.
Go to Europe, get some stem cells, come back, whatever.
And if you got some pain, make sure you don't have any pain to the point where you could shoot a bullet into that spot and you wouldn't feel it. You got to play.
You play.
I play.
Doug Marrone facing the Bills. Not a story, huh?
No. Why are we talking about it?
Right. I mean, think about it. There's 6 guys left on the roster. There's 4 starters. Do you think that they're going to play harder because they're playing their former coach?
No. They don't care.
They don't care. People in the organization might care, but it will have no impact whatsoever on the game. Zero.
Doug says he doesn't care. You believe him?
Why would he care? He left.
Right. He said it's 3 years ago. It's in the rear view, way past
no,
now.
He doesn't
He's worried
care.
About the Jaguars.
No, so. He doesn't care. Yeah. No, he absolutely does not care, and nor should he, and nor should the Bills. No player should care.
They're past it now. 2 coaches later, they're in the playoffs.
Now, if there's somebody still, like, Kyle Williams was there. He's one of the guys. He wouldn't be one guy that would be upset with Doug. You know Kyle Williams, right? Kyle's not going to be upset with Doug. I'm trying to figure out who would be.
Not many guys left.
No.
They really aren't, yeah.
Who are they? It's Kyle Williams. There's 4 starters. It's Kyle Williams.
I haven't paid attention because I don't care.
Is Cordy Glenn one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 2.
They traded one here, Darius.
You know what would be fun to watch, by the way? I just thought about this. Richie Incognito going against the interior of the Jacksonville offensive defensive line. Richie Incognito is a good player.
Yeah, and he goes to the echo of the whistle, right?
Well, it's a great story, too, that I don't think gets covered enough. Maybe it does, and we just don't pay attention. I mean, here's a guy that was suspended for the year, out of the league, basically, for a year, blackballed. Because of a bullying case
that a lot of people say was just grade A garbage.
And if a lot of people said that he was mislabeled or.
No, Richie had some anger issues.
No, but,
back
but
in
it
the
was
day.
Not to the point where he should have been suspended for a year.
No.
And he did his time. He kept his mouth shut. He just worked on his craft, whatever it was, and comes back to Buffalo and made a couple Pro Bowls. One of the better offensive guards in football.
And there are games where he can just dominate good players. You put on the tape, and he's nasty. He plays a nasty That's going to be fun to watch, him on the inside against
those
guys.
It'll be a good matchup against him and Malik and Darius, and Clayes Campbell. Yeah. I mean, the whole group going against him. It'll be a great matchup.
Those guys get chippy from time to time. So that'll be interesting, for sure.
And trust me, the other thing is that Incognito, when they slide to the left, he will go take a shot at Ngakoue, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'll take a shot at anybody. Anybody in a different jersey. They're wearing black jerseys this week, so anybody in a black jersey, he'll take a shot at. Believe me.
Doug Marrone or Sean McDermott, who has a better chance to be the coach of the year?
I don't think either one of them. And in fact, I voted.
And Sean McVay is going to win it.
No, that's not who I voted for.
Really? Mike Zimmer.
I voted for Mike Zimmer. You have the number 2 seed in the league with the guy who was probably your 3rd quarterback at one point. You know, you had Bridgewater, you had Bradford. They both went down, and you have a number 2 seed, and the team is probably the favorite now in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
So Mike Zimmer has to be the coach of the year.
That's a great point, Pete. And because Case Keenum is a guy that nobody wanted on the roster as their quarterback, and now he's a guy, give him credit, is playing great football, but they're doing it as a team.
Now, I'm partial to Zimmer because I've been
Pete,
a
the
big
other guy. Injury, they lost
Dalvin
Cook, their running back.
Yeah, I've stumped for him for a long time to be a head coach. I think he had the right persona. And for whatever reason, you've talked to him before. His mouth and his attitude and stuff will turn off some owners. Well, he got the opportunity. He's made the most of it. He should be the coach of the year. McVay's done a great job. Doug has done a great job. I mean, and McDermott, for what he did, he cost himself the chance to be an easy playoff team by playing Peterman. And so that kind of gives him a couple of negatives in there. But, I think it goes Zimmer, McVay, Doug. That's how I would do it.
Tom
gets a half a vote.
Based on what you said, Pete, I go Zimmer number 1, and it's a toss of the coin between McVay and Doug.
Yeah. If they hadn't lost the last 2 weeks the way they did, then they probably put Marone ahead of McVay. But
yeah, you'd be 12-4.
They haven't. You know, one thing about Jacksonville though, were they blown out of any game this year?
Tennessee Titans.
That's and but even that in the third quarter wasn't it kind of close?
Yeah, but it got away from them.
Yeah, yeah. But have they gone to the fourth quarter where they haven't had a chance to win a game this year?
Should have won the Jets game.
Should have won that game.
Should have won the Rams game. Special teams got them that day.
And had a chance.
Cardinals, yeah, should have won that game.
Niners. Well, the margin for defeat, they lost by 19 to the Titans. That's their biggest loss. 3 to the Jets. 10 to the Rams, and that got away
teams.
Late.
Was it two special teams? Two, yeah.
And then 11 to San Francisco and 5 to Tennessee.
And 11 to San Francisco was close late, too, yep. At one point when they rallied back into it.
Had a pit yeah. six. Pick six.
So, I mean, they haven't been blown out of games, and that's a good sign, too. Now, none of it matters come Sunday, but it's still.
No, it's great to talk about, but yeah.
Did you see that Ben Roethlisberger's already talking about the Jaguars? Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Should be. That's the
team,
next opponent.
That, no, that's the team he wants to play.
But he said he wants to play him because he wants to prove that
the five interceptions were a fluke.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You think they'll use that as a rallying ploy around here? But again, Tony, will it matter at all?
Doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
He could say that.
he could say, I think Jalen Ramsey stinks, and it wouldn't matter.
Boye's an overrated
right.
free agent.
And it wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. Not
all that stuff is so overplayed.
I'm with you. I think it's the most over. I used to tell, remember, because Coughlin used to put that stuff on the board in there, and I'd be, it doesn't matter, Tom. Why do you do that? He was big on that too.
You know what?
I'll go back to
that happens here too. I think now.
I'll go back to the 96 playoffs. I woke up that morning, went to breakfast, and read the Woody Page article, and chuckled, got mad, and it was conversation piece. But once I stepped on the field, I did not remember or think about Woody Page one time.
You didn't look at the press box.
No, until after the game. Then I thought about it again because it was fun to rub it in his nose.
Right. So that's
but I never thought about it.
I always tell everybody, once you get hit in the mouth, the game's on. You don't think about anything else.
No.
Like, all of it goes out the window. Here's another one. Like, two teammates that don't like each other. Once the game starts, that goes out the window, too.
That does. I'm going to tell one story, Pete, that goes against that.
Ah, yeah.
And it was a call. It happened to me in college, my senior year. We're playing Baylor, and they had a guy who
Daryl Gardner.
Gardner was on the team. It was his.
Let me see if I can remember the defensive end.
Scotty something.
Scotty. I remember he was pumped up.
So he was going to be a top. He was like rated as a top first or second round defensive end.
80 or something.
I don't remember.
I remember him.
And that week, Friday, we go to the Friday morning. I wake up and in the L.A. Times. And the SC paper is an article about Scotty Williams.
It wasn't Scotty Williams.
Scotty, whatever. Of him saying I was overrated and he was going to dominate me and he would show, you know, just, I mean, I'm taking personal shots. That was a time that I was going to go play hard no matter what.
You didn't play any harder. You just probably abused
him. I tried to kill him.
Right. But you were going to dominate him anyway.
I got a couple of personal fouls. The first drive, we ran. I remember the play, lead draw. We're on the 15-yard line. I lock onto him and ran him in through the end zone after the whistle and threw him out of the back of the end zone. And got a 15-yard penalty. And as I'm running off the field, John Robinson, the head coach of the SC at the time, is yelling at me saying, calm the bleepity bleep down. And I said, I am not bleepity bleepy calming down. I'm doing this all night.
You know why?
I'll never forget. In the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth, I was on the backside and I cut his butt to the ground. And he goes, why are you, man? He's like, calm down. Why are you going so hard? I'm like, this is why I'm going. And I tried to kill him. Scotty Lewis was his name.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to kill him. And Daryl Gardner, he told you about the story.
No, but he did. But you know why I know that story really well? Because I had that tape in my house for a long time. You know who gave that to me? Coughlin gave that to me.
I wanted to kill him.
Coughlin gave me that tape when they were getting ready to draft Tony, and he knew it wasn't a sexy pick to take an offensive tackle with the first pick in the history draft. He goes, you got to watch this kid and watch this tape and write story and tell everybody how good this kid is. and that was one of the games on the tape. I had it. I kept that. I don't
know.
I'll
be honest with you. Remember,
I don't think so. I don't know. It was a VHS tape.
Might be in a box somewhere.
The Jason Taylor game, too. He talked before that game.
He did.
And so this is where it does matter. I'm going to change my tune a little bit.
You're unlocking it.
But it almost can hurt you a little bit because it wouldn't have changed how hard I played, but I gave a little bit of extra oomph through the whistle and took some shots.
But it doesn't make
that might have cost me, actually.
Right. Lost the team.
And it did. I got a couple penalties against Baylor because I tried to kill him. I wanted to kill him.
But it's not going to
physically, I literally wanted to.
Play better, though.
No, it's not going to make me play better. But I remember the guy ran. Here's the other thing, JP. The guy ran out to the middle of the field after the guy introduced and started pointing at me.
And really?
Was it Scotty Lewis?
Scotty Lewis, that's his name. I remember it yesterday. And I said, I'm going to kill that guy. I'm going to physically,
he was never the same after that game either, by the way.
I think he was like a seventh-round draft
pick. You ruined his career.
Yeah. Well, he should have kept his mouth shut.
Like he would have got any more against you anyways. That's
no,
the thing.
He wouldn't
that's
have got any more, but I wouldn't have. I'll tell you this. I probably wouldn't have run him out of the end zone through the whistle and tried to kill him.
No.
And like after pass plays, chasing down the field and hitting him in the back of the head.
Tony, you're right. That's where that comes into play. is after the play and what you do.
The emotion. And you can get in trouble with it sometimes.
Yeah, you can.
I got a personal foul against Jason Taylor because I was trying to maul him on the bottom of the pile because he wouldn't shut up.
I got thrown out of a high school game doing that.
I'm not saying it's all right. Now,
true story.
Yeah.
You got run out of a high school game?
We played the big Dillard and St. Thomas and everything, and they played all these big kids, and they were always bigger than me.
Well, everyone's bigger than you,
Pete. Right, right.
Shocked.
But except the waistline.
But I was dirty.
I don't doubt that.
I was dirty. And so I played this kid. He was about my size. And I never forget it. His hair was in his face the whole game. He looked like a crazy kid from, like, the stick somewhere. And he hit me, and I hit him the entire game. And dirty stuff, like, but at the end of the game, I saw him standing over a pile, and I was going to go get one last one in. And I ran from way out and just blasted him, and they threw me out of the game.
Yeah.
But he, because he talked a lot of crap.
But I guess that's where it does matter.
After the play. It's dangerous after the play.
It
that's
can
when
be.
You get in trouble. You could hurt somebody, too.
But not in the playoffs. Because I remember
the guy
in the
back with his legs. What a dirty player you
it was. No, it was legal back then.
But still, you don't do that. Yeah, that's what the Broncos used to say when they chopped every lineman in the league. It's legal.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, it's legal. Dirty guy.
But I will say this. The playoffs, you don't need it. Because every playoff game, you're ready. Because I mean, you want to kill the guy in the playoffs.
But there's
too.
No doubt, Tony, the intensity of the playoffs goes
up. We talked about it at the start of the show.
Yeah,
it changes.
It does.
And you can't explain it until you've been out there.
Which is why I think a lot of these first-year players here, the Rams, guys in the postseason for the first time, they're going to experience something they haven't experienced in a long time, and it can get to you. You guys, the first year, you didn't know what you were doing. You're just running around.
But Pete, remember, we were down 13-0. To Buffalo.
And you were down the next week,
and we
too.
Were down next week.
12-0.
In Buffalo, it was an interception by Clyde Simmons on a shuffle pass that changed the entire tone of the game.
Keenan's touchdown.
And from that point on, we rolled. And then in Denver, what changed the entire thing, we were getting killed, 3-and-out. We were getting ready to punt.
Michael Dean Perry.
On 4th-and-4, and Michael Dean Perry walked off the field and got 12 men on the field, and we never punted the ball again for the rest of the
game. Keenan scored a touchdown right after that. That was the end of it.
The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. Use it this Sunday when the Jags host the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Wild Card playoff game presented by Firehouse Subs. We'll go around the National Football League when we return. It's Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday on a Tuesday. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli.
I think we should just do another hour that Pete's here. We'll go to 9 o'clock, Joe, you think?
Why'd they boot us off last night for the football game? Come on, you got to get the priorities in order.
For the playoff football game.
Yeah, right.
I didn't watch
college
it.
Football.
You I did.
Watch them?
I turned off at halftime.
I watched the best.
Game.
I watched the best teams money can buy.
Great games. Rose Bowl was fantastic.
By the way,
Rose Bowl
was
a
great
game.
By the way, did you see that the University of Alabama generated $90 million of revenue off that football program?
That's why no matter what you pay Nick Saban, it's not enough.
Right. And I think somebody said $40 million of it was profit.
Probably, yeah.
So, and like by comparison, Clemson, I think, did something like 50, $40 million and only like $10, $15 million of profit.
It's a machine.
And then you got Sun Devil Land over there. They do like $10 million and go into negative pool. How can you compete? That's what's wrong with college football. It's not fair.
Are you happy with Herm?
Not really.
Are you ever happy over there?
Herm's too nice a guy. He won't cheat. You got to cheat. I want him to cheat. I need a criminal out there. Seriously. Hey, it's not fair. The same teams are in college football every single year. There's a reason for that.
Bama's played for the title like six or seven of the last 10 years or something.
And Nick Saban's a great coach. Don't get me wrong.
Great coach.
But I was watching that game cast on ESPN last night, and he rotated the three guys in, and then those guys all went nuts. And look, it's unfair. They had the all 20. They were watching the high view. Nobody gets open. He knows how to cover guys. He knows how to use all his trick coverages. They had Clemson had no chance in that game.
Third quarter was over.
But I argue that if you had a real playoff where like the conference champ, like, because right now, Ohio State playing Alabama would be a great game because they have an NFL defensive line.
Right.
Like, Ohio State could beat.
But Clemson was supposed to have an NFL off defensive line.
Not like that Ohio State.
Didn't show it last night.
But not like that Ohio State group.
That group is awesome.
Unbelievable. My point of saying that is if you had the conference champions in every year, I think you'd have more variety of teams winning.
And the games would be,
more fun.
I agree.
Some Pac-12 anger over here.
I just said the Big Ten, you moron.
The SEC has the best conference because they have the best teams at the top. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
And when your program's generating $90 million, it's not fair. You can't compete with that. That's why college football is an uneven playing field. It's not even. Do you think a team can come from another conference and compete with that? They can't. Once in a blue moon, maybe. That's it.
Not year after year.
It's not fair.
Let's go around the National Football League.
By the way, I'll start with this. Did you see Dirk and Sean Payton?
Yeah, what happened with that? I just read about it. I didn't see it. I read it.
Oh, he kind of grabbed him, and Dirk grabbed him back, and he was upset with what happened in the last game.
How great would it have been if they threw fisticuffs right there?
I was hoping that Dirk would give him a crack.
You're not a big Sean Payton fan, are you?
He fakes that fake tough guy. You know a fake tough guy?
Fake tough guys.
I've met a few of those. Four firings. John Fox is out. Caldwell in Detroit. Pagano in Indy. Del Rio in Oakland. McAdoo is fired for the Giants.
Well, that's five.
Already.
There's five opening jobs.
Six open jobs.
Arians retired.
Giants. Six openings.
Six open jobs.
Which usually it's a little bit more than that.
Not a good pool, though. That's part of the reason. Marvin Lewis, 2-year extension today, which
it's a great move by the Bengals. Because if you can't find a better guy, then why get rid of the guy you have?
Well, I think that's what Tampa did. They weren't going to get Gruden, so they decided to keep Dirk. I think you look at the pool is not great. It's not a good – where do you go? Somebody mentioned John DeFilippo from the Eagles, the quarterback's coach. He's never called plays before. I mean, that matters.
I don't think you have to be a coordinator to be a good head coach.
No,
I don't think
you got to be a delegator, but you'd still like to see an offensive guy who's going to call plays become a play caller before he takes over running the offense. Come on, Tony.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Plus,
but here's
the
thing. That's why I think you have to change how you look at guys. I'll talk about a guy here. Joe DeCamillis would be a great head coach.
I agree.
Why is he not on the list? I mean, he would be an outstanding head coach.
And we always hear Dave Tobe's name as a special team
coach. Dave Tobe's another guy. You talk to anyone who coaches football, says this guy would be a head coach.
He's going to be. He's going to be the head coach of the Colts.
But I'm saying
I think he gets that job.
But why is Joe D getting no?
I don't know. It makes no sense.
Because I'm telling you, they look at it the wrong way.
I agree. You got to be a guy who can motivate the players. You got to be good on game day. And then have hire two good coordinators and a good staff. And you should.
I had this conversation the other night. The NFL is the only professional sport that has this like hierarchy of how you become a head coach. Basketball, baseball, they go hire ex-players.
Right.
Say, listen, you're a great player. You're smart. We're going to hire you as the head coach.
Yeah, but, I mean, you give me LeBron and a couple other guys, and I could coach the NBA. You're in, you're out.
I'm just saying.
Get 2 minutes breather, you're going.
You see it in other sports. Yeah. You don't ever see that in the NFL. Yeah. So it limits.
See, like, I give you an example. I give you two names that are on nobody. Byron Leftwich will be a really good head coach. Now, is he ready to be a head coach? Probably not, but he will be a good head coach.
Why wouldn't he be ready right now?
I don't know. Edgar Bennett. There's another Jacksonville kid. He's been the offensive coordinator in Green Bay. He's been coach of the running backs.
So my question, why wouldn't either of those guys be head coaches?
I don't get
coaches?
It. Because you know why?
Right now.
Because the network is
That's
in place.
The problem.
That's the problem. I know you. You know me. I'll bring you in. Instead of being open-minded and going to interview
If I was an owner, I'd hire Joe DeCamillis. I mean, he'd be understands football.
I think Joe would be a great head coach. I'd hire Mike Vrabel, too.
Mike Vrabel, I think, would be a great head coach. Edgar Bennett, I mean, I haven't been around Byron as a coach, but he's a very smart guy, communicates great, commands a room. I'm sure he wants to be head coach, probably be a good one. But we choose it the wrong way.
I tend to agree with you. Look, Mike Tomlin and Mike McCarthy, two of the longest tenured coaches in the league, both of them won Super Bowls, came from teams that they weren't good.
By the way,
good.
Mike Tomlin was a coordinator for exactly 1 year.
Yeah, and
1 year at Minnesota,
and
losing
the
record,
wasn't great.
Weren't very good, and guess what? He's a head coach.
Mike McCarthy was the coordinator of the 49ers. They were terrible.
32nd ranked offense,
yeah.
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think he was the coordinator for 1 year, maybe
yeah.
two?
Yeah.
Head coach. Guess what? Just because you're a good coordinator doesn't mean you're going to be a good head coach. And if you're a bad coordinator, that doesn't mean you're going to be a bad head coach.
And then
two different school sets completely.
And then you got the guys like Matt Patricia and Pete Carmichael who run an offense and a defense, but do they really run it?
Because I think Patricia does, don't you?
Yeah.
But he's calling
don't you
defense.
Always say, every time you say, oh, who's Belichick will always take away the best option that you have. They don't say Matt Patricia will take him away.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. Outside of Bill O'Brien, name a coordinator from Bill Belichick's has been a good head coach.
And has Bill O'Brien been? I mean, to be determined, he's been okay.
He's made the playoffs a couple of times. I mean, he's kept his job more than any of the other coordinators can say they've done.
But McDaniels and Patricia will get jobs. JP.
Well, there's only six out there, and Gruden's taken one, so that's five.
Yeah, how about that?
Here's the most. Talk about overrated.
Gruden coming
you want to
back,
talk about overrated? Mm-hmm. There's overrated. Look at his record the last six seasons in Tampa. He wasn't very good. And everybody say, well, he didn't have a quarterback. Well, why didn't he have a quarterback? It was on him. He was the guy calling the shots. He was the guy making the decisions. John Gruden is overrated as a head coach. There, I said it. Give him a piece of the team. You're going to go into business with a guy that you might fire in a couple of years? That makes no sense. Dumb.
You don't like John Gruden.
I don't think he's as good. I think
Let's
he's a good, solid
clear.
Coach.
You're not
no,
in favor
I think he's a
of
good
the Raiders hiring John Gruden.
No, I'm not saying that. I just don't think he's the end all be all that they all make him out to be. I just don't. He won with Tony Dungy's players that 1 year when he took over that team. Did he not?
He did.
You think he's a great coach?
I think he's a good coach.
But like not the end all be all.
There's very few individuals on this planet that I think are the end all be all as far as coaches. There's some really great ones.
Well,
a lot of good ones.
One's in New England.
There's a lot of good ones, and there's a lot of bad ones.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now. John Gruden ain't the coach, the guy that works down the hallway over here. I can tell you that right now.
Well, Tom Coughlin's one of the great head coaches in this league.
Right.
Not Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill Belichick's one of the great
head
coaches.
One of the great head coaches in this league, no doubt.
There's not a lot of them.
No, there isn't. Mm. Is Tomlin one of the – Tomlin's not. Would you say he's got
– He's a good one. Been two Super Bowls, one
right.
one.
I think he's done a really good job.
Year in, year out.
And he's right there again.
Players play for him.
Right.
He's really, really, if he's not great, he's really, really,
really
good.
Really good, yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, Pete, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Will you be here next week?
No. I'll be back in the studio.
You're scared. To say it, you're scared.
Yeah, I abused you.
All right, guys.
You got a guarantee. You made a lock. You made a lock. Call him out.
I unlocked it.
No, you didn't.
Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Radio.